and then that patient.
Esther speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, Esther. It's Donna Vadney over at Essentia. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm so sorry about 1:30. I was in another meeting and it ran over. Did you have any time right now to talk? I have Helen and Andrea. Okay, I'm going to put you on speaker, okay?
Sure.
Okay, hold on.
Hi, Esther.
Hey. You able to hear me?
Yeah, can hear us.
All right, perfect. So just to quickly go over, I reached out to all the Essentia Options patients as well as the caregivers that are working for them. I just haven't gotten through to Ariana Ruiz. I've been trying to call her multiple times. It seems like both of her phones are disconnected. And every time I try to catch her at the patient, she's not there. So that was one that I wasn't in contact with. What I wanted to talk about today is, what is your current process with the scheduler? How does it work with replacement aids? I'll just give you my take on this. I found that, to me, it seemed like the patients were not aware when the caregiver is not going to show up or has to cancel or anything like that. Like, it looks like there's no communication between the caregiver and the patients, or the patients receiving communication from you guys. So I wanted to know, what was your process until now, and as well as finding a replacement. There was two of them that I marked that need a replacement. It was Marian Rosa and Wahida Hamdouche.
Yeah, we've been going through some issues with some of our workers here. Like Ariana, you mentioned, she has a track record of not answering her phone, and we actually just have to recently put a no-call, no-show in on her so she can communicate her absence. We found the same thing for Wahida's client, Maychanel.
I spoke with Maychanel also, yeah. I did speak with her. Ariana responded to me on email. I think her personal phone is disconnected. She doesn't answer her work phone. Like, the personal phone seems like out of service or something like that.
Yeah, I've noticed that through my experience with her, she's better on the email or the texting.
It's a little hard to hear you. What was that?
Oh, so Ariana, I've noticed that as well. She is harder to get on the phone, but she is easier via email or texting, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still waiting for my text line to be up. I know it takes time until it gets verified with, I don't even know what agency it needs to get, like, verified as a bandwidth, the number. So once that's up, I guess I'll have an easier time. When I spoke with her main patient, John Vagnoni, so he was very upset she wasn't coming because I guess she missed the most shifts, like, visits with him. And then when she finally did return, I told John, I said, I've been trying to get through to Ariana. I said, did you speak with her and find out what happened, that she hasn't shown up in a couple of days? But he refused to ask, so I wasn't getting an answer there. For Marian Rosa, her caregiver, she didn't feel so comfortable to work there. I did ask her if she would agree to return until we find the replacement. That was Bridget. She was hesitant, but she said she would do it. But I didn't want to get back to Marian because Marian was very, very, like, upset. She was crying, and I couldn't even get a word out of her. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to talk to you tomorrow and see what I can figure out. And I didn't want to go ahead and, you know, find out from the other caregivers if they're available to take shifts, because I wasn't sure what your guys' process was until now.
Yeah.
And then also for...
Wait, could we go back to... This is Donna. Rosa?
Yeah.
So
Rosa, yeah. Rosa probably called you guys because I got a missed call from her before 9 a.m.
I haven't talked to her.
You haven't talked to her. Yeah, she was very upset. I kind of understood from her, from Bridget, who was that? Bridget was her caregiver. That she had stuff going on, and that's why she had to miss work. Her kids were sick, and the daycare was closed. You know, I mean, valid excuses, but when the patient needs care, it doesn't really matter, right?
So, I guess what I'm confused about, and it could be me, but is it Bridget not asking to go back in, or Rosa?
So Rosa was upset she didn't have help. So she was also trying to say, I'm going to go to Elite. They have a caregiver, so I guess another agency. And I'm not even sure if she's in the process of transitioning to a different agency. But she didn't indicate or say something like, I don't want to see Bridget anymore. I think
okay.
Bridget was the one that was hesitant to go back. And I think maybe because the patient was upset with her. But I asked her, I said, would you be willing to work with her until, I think, you know what, I think she was also saying, Bridget was saying that the patient had some complaints on the agency, which I'm going to assume it's about her scheduling needs, and that makes her uncomfortable, and that's why she's not going to go back, especially since she had to miss work because her child's daycare was closed. But I said, would you be willing to return and work with her for a little more until we find a replacement, which she kind of agreed. I mean, I wasn't pushing for it, but I figured we could do that as a last resort and ask her to return and work again with her. I didn't get to speak with the patient again. Jose mentioned he's available to go there if she was comfortable with a male caregiver, but I didn't follow up with the patient.
Okay. I'm going to follow up with Rosa and with Bridget, and I'll get back to you, Esther, after, now that I understand. I was a little confused on, but now I'm getting, now that I've got the picture, I'll talk to both of them, and then I'll get back to you on a plan.
Okay. And then Wahida, her aide is May Chanel. I see she was out on a leave of absence. Same thing here. So I spoke with Wahida through the language line, and to me it seemed like she was completely unaware that there was a planned vacation or a planned time off for her caregiver, saying like she wasn't aware and she hasn't had somebody and she's in pain and she needs someone. I haven't contacted her, May Chanel, because I don't know what you guys have on file regarding her leave, like when she was expected to return. I mean, on the notes it said end of January, but I don't know if you guys followed up with her.
So, Dr. Icky, Andrea, May Chanel Stevens is the aide on Wahida,
mm-hmm.
and the last day May Chanel has worked was January 15th. She took off, she kept calling in day after day, it was this excuse, that excuse, that was about the first week. And then we had issues with Wahida's phone, it wasn't working, we couldn't contact her, the son's phone wasn't available, so I think we went about another week of not being able to communicate with them, and this is kind of a history with this case here. They've had trouble too.
Yeah, it seemed like she doesn't answer all her calls, because I spoke to her. She's like, no English, no English. I hang up, I call the language line, and as soon as he dials, we get the voicemail twice, and I'm like, I just spoke to her. So I said, let me try and bring her on the line, and she answered my call. So maybe she's selective as to whom she's gonna, whose call she's gonna answer. But
she
for
has
her,
mental health issues, and very anxious, and so is Marian Rosa. They're both very anxious patients.
Right.
We scheduled May Chanel yesterday and today, and she was with no show. So she needs. This has been happening with her, and we are ready to term her because this we can't.
Yeah.
You can't schedule patients for them and have them treated that way.
Right.
So,
and my question is, when you guys say we scheduled her, that's like speaking with her and confirming she can do that schedule, or is it just putting something out on the app and you wait for her to accept it?
No. We confirm with the worker prior to scheduling. So we confirm with them, make sure they are aware of it, and then we put it in the system. Alan contacted her. She agreed. And then was a no show. Correct.
Got
she knows on those shows, again. And, it's been going on since January 15th with her. Yeah, so we got to cut her off. So is that something we handle on our end, Esther, now?
So this is what I wanted to discuss and see, like, I wasn't sure where you guys were up to or what you are still doing or not doing, you know, like what else is Helen doing? You got what I'm saying, right?
Right. Our HR department sent May Chanel a letter giving her till yesterday to take a case, to go back to work, a work concern letter. We haven't heard from you. You haven't worked. And then we Mm-hmm. We don't know who's supposed to do that. I mean, as we're still, my understanding is, as the director, that we're in a management contract right now.
Right.
So we still have responsibility for the discipline. So I say that me and Andrea will follow up after this meeting and we're going to term her. So we'll need to find a new aide for that case.
Okay, so we're going to need a new aide for Miriam Rosa as well as Wahida Hamdouche. I did ask Wahida if she needed to have someone that speaks her language, and she said she's comfortable to work with anyone as long as that they'll communicate with Google Translate.
And Esther, and Helen, I did already contact both of their case managers, and they are aware that they are in need of another aide and that we currently, in Nick, don't have another aide to take it over.
Yeah. So how should we, this is a good situation that's coming up in a way, because in my mind I'm thinking what Helen was saying is that currently on what we know, we don't have an aide to replace there, but do you guys have somebody, and that's what you're doing now, right?
So, yeah, we're going to start our process. That's kind of what I also wanted to discuss with you guys. If you could send your caregiver application just so that I could see what you guys were sending to new applicants. And I believe this is what we need to discuss, how we're going to streamline. Like, if we're hiring and we're leaving you guys out of it, like, for any new hires moving forward.
Right, that, yeah.
The same way as, like, an intake of new patients.
So what you're asking for is, like, what has our current process been for hiring?
Yeah. Meaning, the agency right now is small. It is small patient census and an even smaller caregiver census. In any case, like, right now, I actually saw there was one options patient that was active at the time when we first talked, but I saw it got discharged because it was sent to either be canvassed to other agencies due to staffing. So the question is, have you guys done any efforts to attempt to staff a case by trying to recruit a new caregiver, or you send it out to be canvassed to other agencies?
Yeah, so I guess in the transition of everything, we haven't been recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in the options world is that they have to send out a canvas letter, and then if someone picks it up, it kind of naturally the patient goes to where the availability is. So,
right.
You know, I do think, though, in the discussions that I've had that, you know, we're trying to move some of this stuff, like you said, like transfer the scheduling to you guys, transfer the hiring. And then I'll be more of the oversight of the compliance quality.
Okay. This is Donna, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think that's what makes sense at this point, is that we should start handling recruiting and hiring of new aides. Definitely we'll be in touch with you guys if we require for them to attend. You have a training school, right?
Yes, we do. We could contact that.
Yeah, so I think we're going to start recruiting on our part.
Our training right now, just so you know, is HHA, just to make sure you know that. We don't have a PCA currently.
Right, just HHA, okay.
And then, you know, what we could do is, Andrea had a good idea, is we could ask options to add you guys to the Canvas letter.
Yeah, comes out every week. Member canvassing. I think
right.
Andrea was going to ask options to add them to it.
So I could, out of this meeting, I could follow up with that.
Perfect.
And then that way you guys would know if options has somebody, you would get the notification and could go in there. Like, it's basically you go in and you can grab referrals.
That's how
right.
they did it.
Yes. I'm familiar with that process. So I think this is what we're going to do. I think moving forward, we will be recruiting new additional caregivers. If you guys could send me your, like, caregiver application so I can review it and see what you guys were working on previously.
I guess it's you can easily find it right on the website, because that's
under careers.
Whenever someone does call in, they direct them there to fill it out. So
what's the website address, you know?
N, it's Nascentia, N A S C E N T I A, help. And just put Syracuse, New York.
.org.
Yep.
Okay, and you said under what?
Careers.
You open positions.
Maybe different locations, like, you know, Oneida County, Oswego, they may kind of listed by county. Did we ever? These go to so maybe.
This is what you guys were using to recruit, or were you accessing other platforms?
No, we would also have, like, once a month open enrollments. We had a worker who would go in the community and marketing.
Mm-hmm. We should take a look at that. Okay, so I see it's just a form. Do you guys have this in a PDF version that you could send it to me?
We can ask HR for that.
Yeah, and then just send it to your email. If I can follow up on that.
Okay. Yeah, that would be like filling out an online form. Yeah, if I could see that. Now, one more question. I'm finishing to set up the payroll profiles to automatically get linked to HHA, and I needed some information from the caregiver, I believe, applications from their tax forms, like if they file single or married, any withholding, any of that information. Are you able to share the application caregiver package?
I'm not sure, but I will talk to HR about that, and we will get back to you.
Okay.
I need to find out this information.
Okay. And then this is a question for Helen. When a caregiver cancels out on a shift, lets you know in advance you need to find a replacement, what was your process to find a replacement? Would you broadcast a message? How would you do that?
So just starting at the beginning, when we receive a call-in, preferably the aide should be calling 2 hours prior to their scheduled shift.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's less time than that, it's got to be a real emergency for them to call you last minute. When they do call in, you want to broadcast the shift. So that the other caregivers can decide if they can help out, if they feel like interest, they can, as well as the caregiver matching tool. If you know that.
Hold on. I'm going to open up just the schedule to see what you're referring to. And when you broadcast, you do that through the visit in the calendar?
So the visit in the calendar, when you're scheduling the visit, like pretend you're going to schedule a caregiver into mm-hmm. that specific visit, when you click that magnifying search button, there's a drop down that says caregiver matching or something like that. Do you see that?
So that's if I schedule a new shift. So that means if I'm going to take, like right now, there's a master week in the schedule. Let's say for tomorrow, there's a shift for 10 a.m. and it's assigned to a caregiver. Before you broadcast, do you switch to a temporary caregiver or not?
Yes, it has to be a visit that has no caregiver assigned. That is the only way you can broadcast the shift.
Okay, so that would put the temporary caregiver selected, right? Oh, and then you have quick broadcast or matching caregiver. So what is matching caregiver? It matches certain criteria, like the distance, or?
So, yep, when you actually click into that, you'll be able to see and you can filter what kind of caregivers you're looking for, you know, ones that have better EVV percentages, or if it doesn't matter, you don't have to filter it. And it's going to show you a list of all the AIDS availabilities and who is open for that specific time frame or sort of date that you're looking for that client.
Okay. And then if I do quick broadcast, what does that do?
So the quick broadcast is going to send everybody with the mobile app a notification live in their open shift tab that shift is open, but the information will be filtered on their end. They can only see the patient address, the date, and the time. They won't be able to see the patient name.
Got it.
And when they select interest in yes or no that they want the shift, it doesn't automatically assign to them. It requires the scheduler to choose the right caregiver and then call them and assign them afterwards once they're aware that they were chosen.
Got it. And how are you notified that someone accepted or wants the shift?
I will call them.
No, how are you notified? How do you know?
Oh, how do I know that
that they selected it, the age?
Oh, so there is a, you can actually go back into that same broadcast from the calendar in the visit, or there is a broadcast dashboard where you can see a whole list of all of them that you've broadcasted.
So you keep your eye on the broadcast. Okay.
Yep. You can either go into the dashboard to check it, or you can go straight to that same visit where you broadcasted to check.
All right. Caregiver week. I don't even know what that. Where is that dashboard that I could find it?
I believe it's in the action section.
Under action.
HJ Exchange has a great support.
Oh, I found it. I'm familiar with HJ. I worked in. I did CDPAS all these years, not PCA. So it's a little different when it comes to the scheduling and stuff like that. But okay, I found it.
Okay.
Yep, that's where it is. You'll see it, all of them that you've broadcasted in there.
And there is what were you saying? There's a good health section.
Yep, there is a good support center in
HJ
Exchange. Yes, and where you can search any question that you have, and they will, essentially search the entire support page and give you the answers.
Okay. All right, sounds good. I'm trying to think what other question I have.
I just had one thing.
Sure.
What exactly do, when I reach out to my HR, what is it exactly? I know you want a PDF copy of the application, and then you're looking for, is that the W-4 form or something?
So I believe part of their hiring thing, if I can get all of their items technically, I'll need their IDs, meaning so that I can update everything on my end, because I don't have any of that information in HHA, because you guys were not using that, not for the compliance module and not for payroll. So,
okay.
I mean, it would be part of their entire hire package.
Okay. And I do know that I spoke to Janet yesterday, mentioned this. So I will follow up with that, and I know what you're looking for, because you need to have their, do you need their addresses and phone numbers? Or you
no, that stuff I have. I have the address, phone number, and social. I have that stuff. The only thing I don't have from your HHA is their IDs, I guess any medical paperwork. I mean, I guess for now you guys are going to be following on that stuff either way, right, Donna?
I have to find that out.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But I guess any new hires are just going to be all through us, meaning we'll handle their everything.
Right, and so whatever your hire process will be yours, and I'll try to get you what information we can.
Right, right.
And as soon as we get off the phone, I'll start working on it. So.
Okay, so where do we leave off as far as covering open shifts? So with Mary and Roseanne with Wahida Hamdouche. So you guys are saying that none of the caregivers are available to take their shifts?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Because their original aid is on maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are shortened because of two people are went on maternity leave and we just didn't have the staff to cover
if Jose back
every
vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he's dead.
Actually, no. It's certain people, females, won't take me out.
Right, okay.
So she's a little bit trickier to work with.
Okay.
Not worth it.
You could, I wonder if you reached out to those two, if they would accept Jose, who has some room.
Sorry, if I reached out to
Jose?
So I when I spoke with Jose, I asked him, because I looked and I'm like, no, it's a 45-minute drive to Rosa. And I asked him if he would be willing to do that, and he said he was fine. But I wanted to run it through you guys, and, you know, and I'll have you put it in the schedule. So.
Okay. So I have to call both of these patients.
For sure,
and
yeah.
So when I'm on the phone, I'll ask them if they'll take a mail, and then I'll let you know that, too. So I'll follow up with that.
Okay. And then for... Wahida, she's also in Syracuse.
She's pretty hard to fill.
I can imagine, yes.
She doesn't attend her appointments. She won't ride in, like, public transportation. She's so anxious that there's a care manager at Upstate Medical Center that works with people with language barriers, with mental health issues to help connect with the community. And we've had a couple of conferences with the options, care managers and supervisors, to try to figure out a way to provide service. So sometimes she cancels, won't answer the door. So she's really difficult to work with.
I understand. Okay.
So really, I mean, in the end, all we can do is give it our best try, leave the messages. I mean, does she have an emergency contact?
She does have, but when I spoke to her, I said, you know, who should I call when I have a replacement for you? And she's like, no, she doesn't want, we should call her son, although he's listed as an emergency contact, but I don't know if he's a healthcare proxy or doesn't representative any of that. He lives with her.
He lives with her, and if he's listed on the HHA exchange as the emergency contact, then that means she gave her consent at the emergency.
Got it.
Esther, just to give you a heads up, I sent this email a little while back, but the son did give us a hard time about reaching out to him instead of his mother. He may give a little pushback if you do call him. He also works nights. So he's probably sleeping during the day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we need to talk to the options case
manager.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with, I'm going to follow up with options case manager, who I don't know who it is right now, but I can find out easily. And then I'll follow up with her first and then with the patient. And
okay.
Then I'll get back to you.
All right.
So, I mean, basically, we have to see if they'll accept Jose and see if that will be a good choice.
Okay. Is anyone else in that area? I don't think so.
Esther, did you see your availability sheet, the AIDS availability sheet?
If I looked at it, you say?
Did you receive
them? Did you get them?
Yes, I got it. So,
okay,
I'm just pretty curious. Most of... Everyone here is a new-ish hire, right? This is all within 1 year, right?
Jose is 2 years. Trisha Cron is probably about 6 or 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is in September, October.
So the reason I was asking is because when I worked with CDPAS for so many years, you know, when a caregiver applies and they put their availability on, you know, that changes. That changes every few months. It changes. At some point, we stop looking at the availability that they provided. Originally, you know, as the company grows and you're broadcasting these messages, it becomes irrelevant to review their previously stated availability, if you get what I'm saying. But for now, it's helpful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little different for us. We actually don't allow them to change their availability after 3 months,
mm-hmm.
Unless there's an exception or some big change in their life. But 3 months is really, we don't allow them to change it after that. And they have to abide by their availability. If they say Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, they have to be available in their location as well to take any change.
Right. It's a job at the end of the day. You have to be available. Get it.
Okay, well, it sounds like we have some stuff to work on, but at least we've done...
It's a lot different than Consumer Direct. We learned that,
yeah.
Oh, it's definitely different. I mean, I was involved with PCA also, but not for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, so we'll learn all together.
Yep.
okay, well... I will get that start working on that information for you, and then I guess we don't have an answer, though. Like, so tomorrow, okay, so let me give a scenario that I'm curious about. Tomorrow, an aide calls out. I don't know. Let's just say Jose calls out for some reason, and he's got 4 cases. Is Helen going to broadcast and replace that, or are you?
So I'll tell you what, I think once we officially say, okay, all my patients are in HHA, all of my aides are in our HHA, and we want them to start clocking in on our side and do the payroll from our side fully, then we can do that shift. But what I'm thinking, so I have 2 roadblocks here. First, I'm waiting to see what's happening with the CHOP patients, because technically I should not be manually creating their profile. It should be... sent to us by the CHA so that I can accept it and they have access to it. So that's one roadblock. And the other one is that for me to start recruiting and hiring. So that it may be another week, too, before I even know what's like what's going on. But I think what's going to happen is once we're fully transitioned over to the other HHA, maybe at that point we'll be able to say, like, okay, we're going to take over Helen's responsibilities.
Okay, so for now, we at least are all on the same page that if we know on our end if an aide calls out or a shift, we'll cover, do our best, and we'll keep you informed
in the loop,
through
email. And Helen, if you want, if you're documenting something in HHA, you know that you can put my email in the, if you're putting a general note, you can put my email there, and I'll receive a notification. So I'll be
That's
kept in the loop.
Okay, then that way you would know. Okay.
Yeah, I think, Helen, I think I sent you one, a communication like that. Did you get it?
Yep, about Bridget. I did forward that over to
Donna
and Andrea.
Oh, yeah, it was Bridget, yes.
Yes, and I'm going to address that.
Will you, Esther, have Bridget's PTO
date? She was the one actually telling me about, okay, she needed to change. I mentioned to her that I have her down to be out on the 13th and the 17th, and she said it's supposed to be the 12th and not the 13th.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I did tell her that since she has that, communicate with you guys to let you know first.
Yeah. She put it in ADP incorrectly and then changed it.
Oh.
So Helen knows she's blocked her for those PPO days.
Okay. Yeah, so it would be very important that Helen and we know until that transition happens.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I guess you guys will follow up with me. Keep me posted about Rosa and Wahida. If you want to email me or document HHA and put my email on that note, then I'll be notified like that. That works as well. And then if you can reach out to HR regarding new hire packets and existing caregivers' profiles, just like their IDs and their tax forms.
Yep, and we're going to terminate the
email.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Esther.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Thank you.